Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with Cormac O'Hara. On today's programme, day four of election 2020. Our panel of candidates answer your questions on crime, housing, health and other issues facing you and your community. Join us in a moment, but first the news, read by Ciarán Nievren. Thank you very much indeed, Míle Buíochas Leat. This is day four of election 2020, the first Saturday debate. We will have three of them before we go to the polls in 3 weeks' time. You can send us your questions. 51551 is a text number for your question to each of the candidates, and Saturday at rte.ie. The campaign so far has been dominated by crime and housing and homelessness and health to a lesser extent. It doesn't matter what the parties bring up themselves in terms of policy launches. So far, by day four, events have overtaken. The country is especially shocked and left reeling by the murder and tragic killing of Keen Mulready Woods, a 17-year-old boy in Drogheda. Now, can I introduce our panel for today? It's Fergus O'Dowd, a Fine Gael candidate for Louth and former mayor of Drogheda. Jim O'Callaghan is a Fianna Fáil candidate for Dublin Bay South and party spokesperson on justice and equality. Roisin Shortall is co-leader of the Social Democrats and candidate in Dublin North West. Senator Éan O'Riordan is a Labour candidate for Dublin Bay North and former Minister for Drugs. And Colette Brown is an Irish independent columnist and barrister. 51551 for your questions. We have an email, saturday@rte.ie, which you are emailing already. But can I come to you first of all, Fergus O'Dowd? You spent part of the day yesterday in Drogheda with Leo Varadkar and Charlie Flanagan, saying they were offering reassurance to the public there. But surely the public of Drogheda needs more than a flying visit for reassurance at this stage.
Well, but the people of Drogheda have suffered greatly, and families, as you say, have suffered appallingly as a result of the criminal, barbaric activity that has been carried on in our town. And we're all shocked by it. But we want, and the Taoiseach wants, and I want, and we all here want, the people of Drogheda and Coolock and Limerick and everywhere else to feel safe. And that's what this election is about.
They don't it's about at the moment, making, is that right?
Because that's what
Leo Varadkar alluded to yesterday. He said, we want to make this place safe.
People are fearful. There's no doubt about that. One of the things the Taoiseach did, and the Minister for Justice, we visited the local Garda station. We met with the Chief of Police there, and they told us they are satisfied that they have, as Gardaí, professional Gardaí, all the resources they need. And the Taoiseach made it clear that if they wish...
This has been brewing for some time in Drogheda,
isn't it? It's been brewing. This is a problem that is everywhere in the whole country. The fact is,
can
I answer your question, please, Cormac?
In particular, in relation to your own constituency.
Of course, yes.
You say you have raised this. You said it during the week on Late Debate.
You have raised this time
and time again.
I have,
that
yes.
The outgoing Minister for Justice has said he was in the constituency three times in Drogheda.
He has been.
When is the last time Leo Varadkar was in Drogheda?
He was in Drogheda during the FLA. He met with the Chief of Police then. He was in Drogheda last February and March. He met with the Garda Superintendent then. He's been there three times this year.
Why is the situation getting worse?
Listen, Cormac, I want to make the point that where Charlie Flanagan, the Minister for Justice, went was to the heart of one of these estates where they have very significant problems. He was there. The Garda Commissioner has been in our town three times. The Taoiseach has been there. But we want people to feel safe. That is why we have increased the number of Gardaí in Drogheda. In 2015, there were 97. Today, there are 145. But that's not enough. There's a lot more to be done.
Let me read you this, and I'll come to the rest of the panel. Jim O'Callaghan. A texter says, I'm a serving Garda with 10 years plus services. I would like you, if possible, to ask the panellists what their crime policy is. And I would like... I would like it if you didn't accept the usual waffle they come out with, so many extra guards, more laws. I can tell you that this response, is ill thought out and an easy soundbite. There has to be a joined up approach to crime, not just dump it with the guards. This was mentioned in the Commission on the Future of Policing. Can the panellists tell me what they want me to do as a guard? What do they think my actual job is? We are the agency that gets dumped on by every other organisation who won't get involved or else won't provide service at night or on weekends when most people need services. I love my job, always have, says this Garda, but politicians have to realise that if they want us to do the job, then let us do it, not keep us in front of computers and filling in forms. Be prepared for people not liking us and then complaining to politicians. And finally, the Garda says, in case you think I have some mad defender of my job, I am not. There are bad members like in everything. We have a lot of Gardaí, but not just deployed correctly. Sorry for the long message. I would prefer not to give my name, as I'm sure you understand. Now, don't give that Garda, Jim O'Callaghan, the usual response.
No, but what's required here, I think, is a four-pronged approach. First of all, there is an issue in respect of resources. Secondly, there is an issue in terms of trying to improve the legislation that's available to the Gardaí. We've got to recognise that crime isn't caused by politicians, but we are the solution to it to a large extent, because that guard can only act on foot of laws that exist and that are put through by the Oireachtas. A third thing we need to do is we need education programmes to inform people about the linkage between them taking cocaine socially and the barbaric murder of young children such as Keane Mulready Woods. And the fourth thing we need to do, and this government has cut back on it so much, is we need to fund community projects. So the guard is right, there's no one solution. But like, the primary purpose we're all here today is we want to become members of Dáil Éireann. Well, three of us do, four of us do. And the reason and the great privilege we have there is we make laws. We need to recognise that gangland laws in this country have not been changed since 2009.
Should people who take cocaine in Dublin South or any other place in the country, should they be prosecuted more vigorously, prosecuted, than they are? Because they seem to be getting away scot-free.
Well, it's a criminal offence to be in possession of an illegal drug. But the reality is that if you're in possession of small amounts of cannabis or cocaine, the reality is you're not prosecuted for that. I don't think that's going to be the solution in itself. I think we have a lot of people in this country who have a strong social conscience, and they don't link the fact that by purchasing and taking cocaine, they are encouraging and supporting this heinous drug strategy.
I know they don't care.
But listen, if you think about it, when you think of the campaigns we run to warn people about drink driving, to warn people about other public health issues, we should be running an information and education program to apprise people that if they're purchasing cocaine, if they're using cocaine, they're supporting these criminals who are murdering children. Okay, I'll just talk to you about the legislation as well.
And I'll come back to you on that, I promise. But can I go to Éan O'Riordan? Because you called for a national task force during the week in different thinking.
No, I didn't call for it during the week. I called it for 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And myself and Jed Nash, we've been raising this for 6 months, because it wasn't just this issue during election that's exploded in front in the government's face. There was a shooting of a young man pushing a buggy outside a primary school in Dublin 17. And I went in and spoke with the principal. He said the children were traumatised. Now, it isn't today or yesterday we've been calling for this. This government did the right thing in the North Inner City after the Regency killings 4 years ago. They set up a task force. They spoke to everybody. Teachers, residents, youth groups, young people, political representatives. We've been saying for 6 months that we need to do something similar in Drogheda and need to do something similar on the north side of Dublin. Okay? And we weren't listened to. We got stonewalled. And we were trying to be progressive. We were trying to be practical. We were trying to work cross-party and do the right thing, because it was a government initiative, this government, that they did in the North Inner City. So I'm exasperated as to why now in an election we have this situation and now the task force has just been announced. Secondly, on the answers for a lot of these things are within the community. All right? There's a huge amount of good stuff happening in Drogheda and in Dublin 17 about empowering young people, about making sure that young people don't make the wrong choices. But myself and Roisin Shortall signed a statement last November about from nine former drug ministers saying that the community voice is being isolated and ignored from drugs task forces. And the government did not listen to us. Now, it takes a lot for nine former drug ministers, some of whom are no longer involved in politics, to say the exact same thing.
Fergus, you would have responded to
that. Because the region, Loudmeath, Cavan, Monaghan, we've had a number of meetings with the community groups. We met, in fact, as it happened, with Catherine Byrne, a meeting arranged some time ago, on Wednesday of this week, to talk about exactly a better connectivity, more funding for the local drugs task forces, for the voluntary community groups, and with the HSE and the minister
it's
there.
A bit late, Fergus.
It's a bit late. We're talking about November.
Hold on a second.
This
has been going on for months. It wasn't
it
just this week.
It's been going on for years, Roisin, actually, and it's been allowed to fester.
Let him respond to that specific point.
Let me make the point. I've been raising this repeatedly, continuously with Minister Catherine Byrne. She visited Drogheda on three separate occasions in the last year to visit the Red Door Project, which is outreach to the community. We've had other ministers there as well. Regina Doherty visited the Red Door about 2 months ago. The Taoiseach is aware of all these issues, and he wants people to feel safe and secure, and he wants the community...
You haven't been listening for six months. You're not listening now, and we're getting a bit tired of listening to this. In the course of an election, you have all the answers. But we were saying for this for the last 6 months, you didn't want to listen. You didn't want to listen.
I on one voice.
I think no.
Because isn't it the reality? Isn't it the reality that any and politicians do great things, but isn't it the reality that any politician who voted to impose austerity upon disadvantaged communities has blood on their hands?
Well, hold on, Cormac, can I address that directly? Look, I am quite happy to work cross-party, and I have done. And when I was Minister for Drugs, I got support from right across the political spectrum in terms of the injecting centre and on the new approach to decriminalisation of drug use, which has been alluded to by the Guard and also by Jim. All right, there is a potential here for the political system to work better. Yeah. In terms of what you're saying about a Garda response, there is no Garda response that's going to sort this out.
No, I'm talking about
uniquely.
Imposing austerity exactly. on disadvantaged communities.
Yeah, but,
and Labour in 2015 cut the lone parent allowance. Now, the fact of the matter is, lone parents spend all the money they have to keep their children on the right track, be it sport or music. When their money, their meagre amount is cut, that leaves a greater risk that that child will fall into disarray.
Absolutely, and we got our answer in 2016, and we are back asking.
So
for
is this
a
result
again.
Of that cut?
No,
partly.
No, I will say this much: when we were in government, we also invested in things such as Young Ballymun in preparing for life in Darndale and in the Docklands Early Years Initiative. And we rolled out 13 others in order to try and get people to think differently about poverty, about disadvantage, about young people, and the choices that they make. But I will say this much: there is actually a potential for all of us to work together to find solutions. But it is not, as that Garda says, a uniquely Garda response. Because if our only answer is more Garda numbers, and we have a new Garda station coming on stream in Dublin 17 as a result of community action and a petition I put together myself for 1,300 names, it's actually about the way we view society.
Okay. Can I bring in Roisin Sheehan?
And youth empowerment.
Is it too simplistic simply to blame the government on this one? This has been brewing for generations.
So. It has been brewing in recent years in particular, and the government seemed to have closed their ears to what other people have been saying about this. And, you know, when we have then a very serious flashpoint, when we have the kind of barbaric murder that took place in relation to that young boy, we get this knee-jerk reaction again. Oh. Look, the Garda who rang in there is absolutely right. What is needed is joined-up thinking, and this issue needs to be dealt with on a whole lot of different fronts, immediately because it's out of control at the moment. And there's ferocious tit-for-tat violence taking place at the moment. And that needs a very strong Garda response so that there isn't limitations on, you know, resources that are available. Needs to be dealt with on an immediate basis. But more importantly, it needs to be dealt with on a longer term basis. That's and right. the circumstances have been created in recent years in particular, where we have a number of parts of the country where involvement in crime, involvement in lawlessness generally, antisocial activity, drug dealing has become an attractive proposition for a lot of our young people. And that has come about for a number of different reasons. It's come about as a result of austerity cuts, undoubtedly. It has come about as a result of the government attitude to areas of disadvantage. So no longer are we seeing the kind of targeting of resources for education, decent housing circumstances, community supports. No longer are we seeing those. I was involved.
But it's been happening for decades.
Well sorry, can I just say it has got particularly worse. And the difference now, I think.
No, listen to this texter. Listen to this. Dan texts, communities and their children in Dublin inner city have been abandoned for decades. I once saw young lads playing hurling on concrete at St. Teresa's Gardens flats, while behind them stretched fence-off green spaces denied to them and hoarded by developers and Dublin City Council for decades. When will politicians act for the health and well-being of these urban communities. Why are areas of disadvantage, the same areas of disadvantage, be it in Dublin or Cork or Limerick or anywhere else in the country, for decades? Why?
Absolutely. Because politicians in the main, and certainly the big parties, are not interested in the whole issue of equality.
That's not true.
Fine Gael seem to have this attitude. You know, you serve the top 30%. And I know from experience in my own constituency and right across the country that Fine Gael rarely puts a toe into areas of disadvantage. And Fergus talks about, you know, this minister, that minister coming out. They come out for a photo opportunity.
No, wrong.
And that's about it. And I had first-hand...
Catherine Byrne, the minister of drugs, comes from an area of relative disadvantage.
She may do, and she should. From an area like that, she should have a better understanding of the ravages of disadvantage and should have addressed that.
Catherine
Byrne, three times in Drogheda, three times at the Red Door. No, hold on, let me answer you.
What has she done apart from visiting?
Thank you very much. There was no photographer present when Charlie Flanagan went into one of the communities. And how dare you say that we don't care?
Excuse me. I spent
all my life, and I want to say this exceptionally, I'm offended by what you're saying. I worked in the school where that poor unfortunate fellow went to. I've spent all my life working with those communities. I know all of their families. How dare you say Fine Gael don't care? How dare you say that?
Okay, but hang on. Also, answer. Let me put this question to Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Why are areas of disadvantage in the 1970s and 80s and 90s still those areas of disadvantage?
Because
is it down to successive governments and their policies?
The facts are that in terms of educational disadvantage, they have a much better opportunity than they had. In terms of healthcare,
How do you make that out?
I know that, for instance, the new schools that have been built in Rathmullen, where this poor young chap came from, there are two brand new schools. They're just one of the biggest secondary schools in the country is in the same area. That's a fact. And we have a new industry that's coming in, which is going to be based right beside them, a new data centre, which is proposed. So the facts are
why are mothers and fathers, Jim O'Callaghan, losing their sons and daughters, predominantly sons, at the age of 9, 10 and 11, to drug lords who will expend them without a thought. Is that down to government policy? It has to be.
In part it is, but the reality is a lot of young people living in flats in my constituency, and I know this, that they see themselves as having no opportunity, and they see people around them making lots of money from selling drugs. I was in a flat complex in my constituency the other day, and I spoke to 8 out of 10 people I spoke to said they wanted to get out of the place because at 4:30 in the evening, 17-year-olds not from the area come in and are selling drugs there, and it's intolerable for them. They won't let their kids out into the common areas there where they'll be influenced by these people selling drugs. So we need to recognise that you're correct in stating disadvantage is a significant cause of this, but that the solutions aren't simple. And, you know, it's not going to be solved by the visits by politicians or getting photo opportunities. We need to look at, as I said, in a number of ways. We need to concentrate resources on areas of disadvantage.
But
in fairness to Fianna Fáil,
abolished the Combat Poverty Agency.
Yeah, Fianna Fáil introduced the DESH schools. And I think Cormac, by stating that, you know, politicians who voted for austerity have blood on their hands.
Is it not the case?
No, it's not the case.
Why not? Partly, I said.
It is a totally inappropriate use of language.
Why?
Because you're suggesting that politicians, by voting, are assisting criminals in murdering young boys like Keane Mulready.
I'm not suggesting that at all.
Why do you use the expression blood on their hands?
I'm asking if politicians have created the circumstances through policy, and I'm talking about successive governments now, where youngsters have no hope, youngsters feel they are living in an unequal society, and they are preyed upon by vulture drug lords. Yeah. And that's the point I'm making.
If that is the case, if that is a result of government policy...
Well, arguably there has been a contribution.
That has contributed to it. But I think we need to recognise that this government has cut back on a lot of community projects trying to support people who are in areas where they're going to be affected by drugs.
Can we move beyond the political points going for a second? There are people from all political parties who every day of the week propose progressive legislation around literacy, around educational disadvantage, around changing drug policy. They don't get airtime. They don't get listened to in the Houses of the Oireachtas. They don't necessarily get noticed. They don't get column inches. What gets the column inches and gets the interest of the public and the interest of media are stuff that's happening in the middle of an election when a young man's dismembered body is found in the bag. Now, myself and people around this table, I know, have spoken about investment in early years, in deaf schools, in empowerment, in isolation of young mothers in disadvantaged communities, about oral language, about literacy, about trying to open up libraries longer.
It has been more than talking about I
appreciate
resourced.
That, Roisin. But what I'm saying is that there is a political conversation, but unfortunately, other things get dominated by it. If we spent... My point is that if half the amount of time we spent talking about Brexit and half the amount of time we spent talking about rural broadband, we spent talking about 16-year-old who has the choice to put a gun in his hand or not, then maybe he wouldn't be in this situation.
One of the solutions you propose, Jim O'Callaghan, is you say we need to tweak the laws. Is that right, that we have that we had for subversives?
Correct. We need to strengthen the legislation we have. At present, gangland legislation was brought in 2009. It makes it an offence to direct gangland operations. There have been very few prosecutions in respect of it. I believe we should change the law so that the evidence and belief of a chief superintendent that a person is involved in directing gangland activity should be admissible evidence in a court hearing. Doesn't mean that it's going to be conclusive evidence, but it should be admissible evidence. We use that type of procedure for the prosecution of members of the Provisional IRA.
Is there not a danger there?
There is a danger there, but there's also a danger, Cormac, in doing nothing. Like, we've had no gangland.
Can you put on your headphones, please? Because the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, I assume, based on what you say, have tweeted, and they say they call on all parties to focus on supporting policing and supporting communities, not on the false promise of quick fixes through legislation. Liam Herrick, you're the Executive Director of the ICCL. Is this a good idea from Fianna Fáil or not?
I think, Cormac, we've had 25 years of gangland or organised crime legislation, and very often proposed in response to one particular incident. And it's had very little impact on the ground. It's also very often come with negative side effects, unintended consequences. And I think that there can be a tendency to go for what is an easy option. It's easy to promise legislation in comparison to the types of things that the guard who called your programme and the other speakers, including Jim O'Callaghan, have talked about, the hard, long-term investment in communities. And we talk about having a comprehensive response to a complicated problem. There are many communities out there and community services that want to do what that guard referred to, is provide the services that are needed, but they've been under-resourced. And even when we've seen successes in places like Limerick, where we've had that comprehensive response and we've had that investment, there hasn't been the follow-through that it only lasts for a short period of time and we don't sustain it in the longer
term. But Liam, do we not need an emergency measure like this being proposed by Fianna Fáil?
What we need in terms of an acute short-term problem is an acute short-term policing response. And I think there's every indication from the guards and the Minister for Justice that that's what they feel is needed and that's what they're willing to support. I think if crime is to become an issue in this election, and obviously we've had extreme tragedies in the last couple of weeks, I think we should try to turn this into a positive opportunity. I think there's a lot of agreement across the parties that the real issue here is to look at what happened in the past in Limerick when the resources were put in and tackling things on the ground. In particular, we have an issue, and I think all the speakers agree with this, about young people being drawn into criminal enterprises. Mm. And we have an underinvestment in the youth services that are working with them. And what we are really only starting to do now is to design the kind of programs that do the very hard work of dealing with young people when they're already in gangs. Now, that's difficult work, it's dangerous work, and it's expensive work. They're piloting projects in Limerick at the moment, and there's also been research done in the south inner city in Dublin about how we might adopt programmes from the United Kingdom and elsewhere. But, I mean, I think it'd be a real opportunity now for parties to set the sparring aside and say, we're going to commit to resources, we're going to commit to the long term, and not short-term response.
But the Garda is saying it's not just about resources. I'm getting an awful lot. Thank you very much indeed, Liam Herrick of the ICCL. I am getting an awful lot of correspondence by text and by email from Gardaí and from people in Louth. Mary Feely in County Louth says, we need honesty. What can guards or laws or politicians do to protect a family that's being threatened over a drug debt owed by, for example, their son?
Yeah.
If he can't pay, the parents must pay, or the grandparents, or else. The guards will say on the quiet to pay up. The guards will say on the quiet to pay up.
They will.
Because the criminals mean it. There is no protection. Yeah, can I ask you, Colette Brown, to address that one? People feel, especially in areas where drug lords run the rule, it seems, they feel helpless.
Yes, and I mean, the situation that's developed in Drogheda is abhorrent. The situation in North Dublin, equally abhorrent. But I think a knee-jerk reaction for more laws, more draconian laws to chip away at the due process that people are entitled to under the law, I think that's the wrong approach. I think we need to see investment in those communities. We need to see investment in disadvantaged communities. We need to show young people that there's an alternative route for them, that they don't have to get involved in this.
But and due process, you're a barrister, Colette. How can you prosecute someone if you saw Paul Reynolds in Drogheda during the week trying to do interviews with average members of the public? They refuse to put their faces on screen. Now, how can you collect evidence from witnesses if they're not willing to come forward?
Well, these are intelligence-led Garda operations that are needed, and you need Garda, to be resourced to do that. Now, obviously, you're always going to have in these kinds of situations the danger of witness intimidation, but Garda on the ground with intelligence-led operations should be able to deal with that. And the suite of legislation that was introduced in 2009, at the time that was deemed to be very draconian legislation, and indeed it seemed to be adequate to deal with the situation in Limerick, because the Gardaí were able to deal with the situation in Limerick. And I think the people as well, they should be aware that while we have a lot of stories and headlines at the moment about crime, about gangline crime in particular, that the homicide rate between 2018 and 2019 was down 40%. Ireland has the 11th lowest homicide rate in Europe, the 23rd lowest in the world. We have 0.09 homicides per 100,000 people. In 2007, it was 1.8 per 100,000 people. So I think people shouldn't get hysterical about this problem, even though there are really serious problems, obviously.
But Conor Lally in the Irish Times this morning called it, this time around, a second drugs boom, I think, if I'm correct.
Well, that's due to the socioeconomic issues at the moment. People have more money, they're spending more, and what are they spending it on? They're spending it on recreational.
Listen to this, 51551. I'm a Garda in Sligo. Every time we complain and seek proper resources, we're compared to Drogheda and Dundalk, areas of comparable size, and told that they are getting by with the same or less. Well, look at it now. Other large towns all over the country will soon follow suit, like Louth, if Garda are not properly resourced. And that is a chilling message, because we would not have been having this conversation about Drogheda 5 or 10 years ago, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, this needs to be addressed on two fronts. There's the immediate, which is very serious gangland crime, and that needs to be tackled. But more in the short to medium term, we need to be talking about how do we address the fact that circumstances exist in so many communities that give rise to this kind of crime, where it there are many communities in this country that are now have now become seedbeds for young people to get involved, starting at a low level in crime and then getting more serious. And, you know, the way that we should be tackling that is by having a well-resourced community guard service, so that when the young 12 and 13-year-olds are hanging around the corner, when they're on quad bikes, when they're, you know, in getting involved in what you might call petty crime, that that is dealt with at that point. But wait, no. When we look at the figures then for the Community Garda Service, we see that they have been halved over the last 9 years. And I have figures to show you that. And that's the difficulty. So there isn't proactive policing going on
there
at community level.
There wasn't the money the government could
say. Sorry, but I mean, that's one element. So it's proactive. So we try to nip it in the bud. But the other thing is that you provide opportunities for young people in these areas.
Can you blame a Garda who tells parents quietly, no, look, you better pay
up? And people have said to me the same thing. Well, it goes to the guards or I go to the credit union. I can't hand on heart tell a mother who has a €5,000 drug debt of her son to go to the guards, because I can't be completely secure in my own head that that family will be safe. So they do go to the credit union. Two quick points. We're not going to solve the situation by promising tax cuts. That's my first quick point. Second quick point is that 70% of the drug cases in our courts are for possession for personal use. Most people who get drug convictions are people in addiction and people who are poor. And all those Garda resources and criminal justice resources should be targeted at the criminal gangs and the criminal and the drug industry, not at those who are the victims.
I need to move on really quickly.
Responding to Colette, because the Taoiseach said the same thing today about the fact that the numbers of murders are quite low. The numbers may be correct, but the impact that gangland crime is having on communities extends far beyond simply the people who are being murdered and violently attacked. It's having a detrimental impact on communities. People are being inspired to get involved in drug taking. We need a multidisciplinary response, and part of the solution has to be to change our laws to make
the
them stronger.
The resources clearly and absolutely, the Gardaí in Drogheda are satisfied that they have all the resources they need. That is the message. The second question is about the Fianna Fáil legislation, which I haven't seen published. I understand you've just announced it today. The facts are the Gardaí chief superintendent said to me that even if you go before the Special Criminal Court, I have no issue with that, that you still the burden of proof still remains. And to get that proof, they need the information. That's why they're doing it. And they're also confident, they believe, that they will succeed in the crimes in Drogheda.
You're just the belief of the chief superintendent would be very beneficial.
Yesterday, the two shooting, they were arrested within a very short period of time. This week, there was a raid on ATM in Dunleer. The armed response unit were there at 4:30 in the morning at the exact same time as the criminal was there. So there are police on duty. They are there. They are doing the job.
I'm with Fergus O'Dowd, Jim O'Callaghan, Roisin Shortall, Éan O'Riordan and Colette Brown. We'll answer more of your questions after the break.
Email saturday@rte.ie. Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
You're welcome back to the programme. We're taken aback by the response to our previous conversation. Peter Nartain says, please stop using this absurd term recreational drugs. It diminishes the dangers and perpetuates a climate of acceptability. It's about time more recreational users paid the true cost of their abuse, says Peter. A texter says, while there are more Gardaí in Drogheda, this feud stretches to East Meath, which is policed by a Garda station 20 miles away in Ashburn. Residents here do not feel safe. Balbriggan Garda station 5 kilometres away cannot deal with or respond to issues in the area.
To draw the police cover that area as well if they're called upon.
They're saying it's too far away.
But no, it's not.
Some of your panellists, as this listener, would want to get real. While they're investing in education programmes, a lot of innocent people will be dead. Garda cannot protect people with information as we... A lot of Gardaí are afraid of the thugs themselves, is that texter.
Well, that point actually about Garda stations, Cormac, I mean, the Stepaside Garda station was opened and that was a complete political decision on behalf of the Transport Minister, when actually the Gardaí in an Oireachtas committee said that if they had their pick of stations, that wouldn't be the station that they'd be reopening. They'd be reopening Garda stations in areas of disadvantage in North County Dublin, perhaps in and around North Meath, where that texter is coming from. And I think problems like that, decisions like that, political decisions like that, there needs to be accountability for that.
And I'm sure, in fairness to Shane Ross, he would say he made a case for that station.
Sorry,
to be
it was
reopened.
A government decision as well.
Yeah. Can I ask, this is one of the most open elections in years. Pascal Dunne, I think, said it was neck and neck between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, which begs the question, I suppose, which leader would make a better Taoiseach? And there's no point in a way in asking Fergus or Jim, because we know what the response would be. I will ask Éan O'Riordan and Roisin Short. Who would you prefer to lead the country, Roisin?
In fairness, Cormac, I'd say the question isn't who should lead the country as Taoiseach. The question is, what should the programme of government be? And what are the parties that can best come up with solutions, realistic solutions that are funded to tackle some of the big problems facing the
country?
Yeah,
and I promise we'll come to that later. But the leader, the Taoiseach, leads the direction of government. So who would you trust more?
I do actually think it's beside the point, really, to be honest about
that. The Taoiseach doesn't matter.
Yeah, look, it's important. No, sorry. I'm saying this isn't, you know, a question of concentrating. Is it Leo Varadkar or Micheál Martin? You know, and much and all, as both parties and both leaders have tried to make this into a personality contest, a presidential style election. That is not what
you're saying.
It's
it doesn't
about.
Matter who the Taoiseach is. In this.
What matters
context.
Is what the next government is going to do.
Okay, and we'll come to that later. Éan, is that the same response?
I can agree, because there can be, and this is what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want. They want us all to be talking about Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. who are going to get possibly just over 50% of the vote between them, if polls are to be believed. So there's a huge sway of people who are not going to vote for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I don't think we should be sucked into this conversation about, you know, who's better, Leo or
who
Micheál.
Would you trust more?
I have to say, I absolutely agree with Roisin. We have five non-negotiable.
Let me tell you why it's relevant.
Because you are demanding of me that I pick one person over the other.
Let me explain the context of my question. When Eamon Gilmore published his book after leaving office, he explained that he had a good relationship with Enda Kenny, but that he found dealing with Enda Kenny sometimes and Fine Gael difficult. Now, would you trust a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach or a Fine Gael Taoiseach a bit more?
Who's closer to Labour? I don't trust either of them. I've worked and I've been a Minister of State within a government with Fine Gael. And I'm bruised by that scenario. And I have memories of what Fianna Fáil did to the country. And I do think, though, it's incumbent on media and all of us to move beyond that binary choice between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and discuss issues, as Roisin has just articulated, that people will be voting on and will actually impact on people's lives.
Yeah, OK. We're just spending 2 minutes on this because we have spent 35 minutes on one of the most serious topics. There's no point, as I say, asking Jim.
Ask me anyway.
I know you're going to say Leo Varadkar, and I know Fergus. No, you're going to say
Leo
Martin.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're wrong.
Can I? We'll come to housing in just a second. That's the other major topic of the week. But first, this is a story that didn't get a look in all week, but it's a major story for so many people up and down the country. It comes. This little excerpt comes from David McWilliams in the Irish Times today. He says Dubliners spend on average 246 hours in traffic every year, more than Rome, Paris and London. Moreover, Dublin is believed to be the slowest city centre, dipping as low as 6 miles per hour. Traffic woes in Galway, Cork and other Irish cities are common knowledge. Now, everybody knows how bad it is, Colette Brown, but this isn't even being mentioned really.
No, it's not. And it's a huge issue. And actually, I know that there'll be cyclists all over Dublin and all over the country who'll be jumping up and down at the radio now and talking about the lack of investment in cycling, the lack of investment in public transport. Anybody who has to commute via the Dart or the Lewis into Dublin city centre in the morning will know that they're absolutely crushed because they don't have the capacity on trains, don't have the capacity in public transport. In relation to cycling in Dublin, I would cycle in Dublin, except I'm too afraid to. It's unsafe. We have the occasional dedicated cycle path, but then they disappear and you join the main traffic. The quays are a disaster in the morning and nothing has been done. Now,
and
Dublin
City
Council.
It's not just Dublin. Galway, Limerick, Cork, they have massive traffic congestion.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely choked with traffic. But the answer to traffic isn't more roads, because if you get more roads, what happens? You get more traffic. What we need to do is rethink the way that we address these problems in this country. And we really do need only a tiny fraction of the transport budget, a pathetic amount to spend on cycling infrastructure. That really needs to be ramped up. And obviously, we need better public transport, more capacity in public transport. Irish Rail, I don't think they're going to be adding new carriages to trains until 2022 or 2023. That's simply not acceptable given the capacity issues that people are experiencing in the morning.
Yeah, I think David McWilliams is absolutely right there. The difficulty for people in getting about is having a huge impact on the quality of people's lives, their time in particular. Increasingly now we're seeing people who are complaining about being time poor. They don't have time to devote to their kids. They feel they're shortchanging them. They don't have time to, you know, care for elderly relatives,
a person
with a disability. We need to put a focus on ensuring that people have decent lives. And that means, I'll tell you what that means. That means ensuring that there's a supply of affordable housing available to people. So people aren't put to the pin or their collar where both members of a couple have to work full time in order to survive. It means ensuring that there is access to the kind of levels of parental leave, for example, flexible work that is available in most other civilised European countries. It's about ensuring that there's more flexibility in how people work, that people can work from home more.
It's not happening organically.
And so what we have now is increasing numbers of people who are working long hours, who are really struggling to pay high mortgages, to pay for expensive childcare, and who really feel they don't have time in their lives.
Couples feel that they both have to go out to work to pay the mortgage. That's a reality, or the rent, for most people in the country at the moment.
That is correct. But part of the problem why people are spending so much time in traffic is because of the lack of any proper transport infrastructural projects coming from the government. The two projects that the government are promoting are Bus Connects, which has been a disaster, and the Metro Link from the airport into the centre of town. We've been advocating, that we continue with that underground Metro Link from the airport into the city centre, and it should serve southwest of the city and out further. We need rail infrastructure and improved cycling lanes in order to facilitate people getting out of their cars, because unless we have the proper rail infrastructure, there's no reason or there's no way people can get out of their cars.
The Bus Connect you're talking about, you call it a disaster, is actually proposing 220 kilometres of dedicated, separated cycling lanes. So you're talking rubbish.
You don't know the details of it. About expanding the size of roadways to facilitate
large buses.
The fact is that we've had the cycling, I was chairman of the transport committee, we've had all the cycling bodies in, and obviously it's a huge issue. That's why the Taoiseach today is saying that over the next 4 years, 5 years,
you're saying a lot of there will be
60 million, $600 million spent on improving cycling facilities. That is the plan. That's what we're doing. The second question is, I want you to listen to what the Bus Connect is about.
I know what it's about.
You've got a completely wrong. 220 kilometres. The next point is the Metro North, the Metro will link all of those city spaces together. But the key point is the 2040 plan for the future development of the whole country is designating a limit to the growth of cities and growth centres like Sligo, like Athlone, like Drogheda, like Dundalk.
Is it not too late, though? Is it not too late? Because the investment in Dublin is pushing people further out because it's driving the cost.
Six out of every 10 jobs being created in this country are being created outside the cities.
Can I make a
so there's a huge change
transport.
Going on, and yeah. you guys so don't the politicians yeah, doesn't know about them.
Two quick points on cycling. When politicians take a risk sometimes on cycling infrastructure, such as Labour Councillor Andrew Montague, who introduced the Dublin Bike Scheme, he was told it would never work and it's the most successful one in Europe. When we brought in the 30 kph down the Keys, we were opposed by pretty much every other political party on the council. Many did. In order to make cycling safer, and it has turned out to be a success. On the Dart, I agree with Roisin said. It's overcrowded, but also people feel it's unsafe. We do need a dedicated... Fergus, please, just let me finish this point. We do need a dedicated transport police for the Dart, because people are saying the level of antisocial behaviour on the Dart line is unacceptable and they don't feel safe in the Dart line. So if there was more capacity, less talk about roads, more talk about rail, more talk about Dart,
that's
I think people would have
what about housing? Can we address
a more sustainable way of traveling into work?
Can we address Alan's point from County Wicklow? She says, Cormac, my son is age 29. He gets up early every morning at 5 a.m. to travel to work in Dublin from South Wicklow. He commutes nearly 2 hours each way. Also, home ownership is beyond his reach.
Many people his age would probably say
the same thing.
There's a number of schemes that were introduced about 15 years ago before the crash, which were working well, like rent-to-buy schemes and affordable housing schemes, which were abandoned when basically the crash happened and all homes effectively were affordable. We need to bring back those schemes again. There's a scheme which many people benefited from, where you rented for 3 years, you didn't have to save at the same time, and that rental went towards the deposit at the end of 3 years, or you could walk away from the deal. There's many solutions that we can do, but we can't depend on the private sector. We have to get the state involved. We can build 80,000 social and affordable homes on state land over 5 years if we had the will. Unfortunately, the government is depending on landlords and depending on private developers for the solution, and they are not the solution because they have no conscience.
I need to take very quickly, and then Jim.
Right. One of the most important responsibilities of any government is to ensure that there's an adequate supply of affordable housing available for people, whether people are renting or buying. And if that's not the case, as is not the case at the moment, what that results in is a huge amount of pressure on households to try and pay their bills, to pay high rents, to pay mortgages, or indeed for the 10,000 people who are homeless. So we're in that situation, and that is putting huge pressure on people. Mm-hmm. So the key thing is to address the cost of living, and that means government taking responsibility for ensuring the provision of housing that is actually affordable to people on kind of average incomes. At the moment, you know, in Dublin, the average house price is over 400,000, and in order to afford that, it is not affordable for the vast majority of people, and that has a huge impact on the quality of life for all families.
Should this issue, housing provision, be beyond party politics?
No, it's all about politics. And the same way response to crime, response to the housing crisis and homelessness is a political issue. But that woman who texted in is correct when she says that her son can't attain home ownership, because home ownership here has gone down to 67% and it used to be in the 80% in the 1990s. But let's give her a solution. Like, we're putting forward proposals that we'll reform the planning laws to block cuckoo funds from buying up whole apartment blocks. Her son doesn't have a chance of buying up
an apartment. But why didn't you insist on this, Jim, over the last 4 years? Exactly. You're in a position to do something about this, Jim.
Let's hear the
why didn't you?
Because we're not in government. We
go let's get a crystal clear response, because this has been asked time and again. If this was such a major issue, and housing is, why didn't you say to the government, do it this way or else we'd collapse?
Because we have gone into those talks and we have achieved quite a lot in terms of housing. We got issues in respect of increasing the affordable housing fund. We got other issues. We can't achieve everything.
We don't have a civil service behind us. Who's 29 and who gets up every morning at 5 a.m. will think about Jim O'Callaghan saying, I've achieved a lot. He's saying, not for me.
I know, but he's got to realise that Fianna Fáil isn't in government. Okay. And we're putting forward the proposal. Okay. And I'd ask him to read the manifesto and read the proposals that we're going to put forward.
The most important people are people who need social housing. And in fact, 10,000 social houses were built in the last year. That's the most
built. Look, it's not a numbers game. It's about ensuring that housing is available for everybody at an affordable cost.
You care about people who can't buy homes. I do too. 10,000 built, the most built in years. Next year, we're going to build 11,000. And the government policy over the next 5 years will be to build over 40,000.
This is not a facetious question. No. Why couldn't it be 15,000 last year?
The facts are that it's to ramp up the building construction. Well, I think it was 15,000 or 20,000. The point is that we started, say, when Labour last had a housing minister, I think Alan Kelly built something like 84 houses.
The way that Fine Gael is trying to distance themselves from their own government in 2011 is actually hilarious. You know, to listen to Fine Gael ministers and Fine Gael TDs talk, they've just landed in government in the last 2 years. And they first got the housing brief in 2016. Fine Gael was the main coalition partner in the government in which the first housing plan was announced. How long ago was that? That was 2014. Yeah. Now, Leo Varadkar said during the week that he's only had money to invest in health and housing for two years. That's patent nonsense because the first housing plan was 2014 and there was a significant investment at that point.
I'll try and get a few more quick questions in, but first I need to take a very quick break.
Email saturday@rte.ie. Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
51551, huge response. Phil says, retiree, property tax unfair, having paid 16% on mortgage and income tax of 60% as a pensioner and 1,000 euros a month. It should be based on ability to pay, especially on family homes, says Phil. Mary says, safe, balanced working conditions should be an important conversation to avoid burnout and promote good mental health. A texter says, I'm 55 years old and worked and paid taxes all my life, put three kids through college at great expense and now trying to save for when I retire. I won't get my pension until I'm 68, he says. It's a joke. Don't tell me I can keep on working. Nearly all my workmates and family will be voting on this issue. I'm entitled to my pension at 65 instead of using my savings after being means tested. Help. Is there help for...
I think the first thing is if you have 156 contributions over your life, working life, when you reach 65, you will continue to get your, it'll be the actual, the equivalent of the unemployment benefit for at least a year.
You've got to sign on the dole, basically.
But if you retire, yes or no?
Can
I make the point? If you want to work, you should be able to work. The Workplace Relations Commission has set out protocols for both employers and employees for people who want to work longer. But I agree with the fundamental issue.
The government is actually saying to people
that when you come to the age of retirement, maybe worked 40 years,
they expected to be able to retire at the age they were promised they could retire.
No, I don't disagree with that.
And they're being told they have to go on the dole. They have to sign on the dole now. And I mean, that is the most appalling insult to people who have worked their entire lives.
Look, we have had an I can say on this programme, an unprecedented reaction. People are engaged in this election. Are you finding that on the doorstep? More so than 2016.
Big time.
People are really watching what the different parties are saying because they're conscious of all of the problems in the country.
You said during the break they're engaged in policy.
In policy, absolutely.
People want to talk. It's surprising. I think part of it is we haven't had a proper general election since the election of Trump and since Brexit. And this is Irish people's opportunity to get a new government in.
I agree. To get a better government.
Nobody has mentioned Brexit, but people are talking. People are talking about family life, you know, and this struggle that people have under pressure all the time, short of time. They're talking about the impact of unaffordable housing on them and the difficulties in accessing them.
Okay, can I say to listeners that next week we will be putting your questions directly to the candidates from each party in front of us. So you can email saturday@rte.ie.
Some good questions for
you. We will not relish that. We will not relish that, the panel. So send us your questions. It'll be a live interaction between the listeners and the candidates next week. And we will see the cut of their jib. Mubichas La Fergus O'Dowd of Inigail, Jim O'Callaghan of Iona Fáil, Roisin Shortall, Social Democrats, Éan O'Riordan, Labour, and Colette Brown, who is not running. Thank you all very much indeed. Have a very good election, and we'll see you next Saturday at 1.
And Saturday with Cormac O'Hara was produced by Anne Farrell. The broadcast coordinator was David Phelan. Research was by A.B. Philbin-Bowman. And sound was by Mark Dwyer.